So my talk title for today is Grateful for Motherly Love, the Divine Feminine. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, and over the years it's kind of evolved in how we take a look at Mother's Day and how we celebrate it, we have begun to shift out of the hallmark concept of a perfect mom into a place of recognizing the humanity of motherhood. And we still yet have a lot of expectations of what moms should be because that's what we've been told and that's what we've seen on TV and that's what we see in all the lovely cards that Hallmark and others put out. And yet when we come to celebrating Mother's Day, it can sometimes be kind of a mixed bag, can it not? Many had wonderful relationships with their biological mothers or adoptive mothers. Many had wonderful motherly love relationships with other people in their life because perhaps their biological mother was not of the perfect cookie cutter that we see in Hallmark and TV on all of these concepts. And then that leaves us feeling kind of left out. And what do we do? Because, oh, everyone is loving their mother on this day, and maybe I don't feel that same way. And so I want to talk today a little bit about this being a day as it's shifting in all of our society, even in our awarenesses of there not be of being far more authentic as opposed to these perfect pictures that are painted, and to begin recognizing that this is a journey of experiencing and sharing love. And that Mother's Day is a day to acknowledge that which we call the Divine Feminine and to honor all the many ways we have been gifted and blessed by love in our lives. Award-winning author Jill Churchill says, "There's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one." And Robert A. Heinlein, he's an aeronautical engineer. Many of you know him as author of, he's written some amazing science fiction books. He says, "Being a mother is an attitude and not a biological relation." And I want us to just kind of consider our concepts of motherhood, of our mothers, of perhaps joys that we shared, of nurturing and of comfort. When we skinned our knee, perhaps she was there to put a band-aid on or to dry our tears or to hold us when we were sad. And yet understanding that in our society, we have a concept of a certain level of perfection that should be attained by those who have been our moms or our dads, of course, too. And I think it's important as we celebrate Mother's Day to truly understand that we're celebrating the Divine Feminine that can show up in so many different places. And we have tended to see God, especially in the Western world, through our anglicized Bibles that use the word Father God. And so we anthropomorphize and put this big person up somewhere in the sky, and this dominant male figure, understandably, because we have shifted out of the polarity and the balance of understanding the divine feminine and the divine masculine are a balance. But we have shifted into that male hierarchy power for many centuries. We are beginning now to shift back and to recognize that when we talk about, well, and in unity, we oftentimes say mother, father, God. Charles Fillmore often coined that. And I've had people come up to me over the years that I've been here and say, I haven't heard that term before. I like that. And yet what we can understand when Charles was speaking of that, he was not speaking of gender, friends. Because we mix up the divine feminine with gender. And the divine feminine, what Charles was speaking in Mother, Father, God, was to acknowledge both aspects of the yin and the yang. And to recognize the elements or the qualities of God that are the divine feminine. In scripture from Isaiah 66:13, it says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. This is one of the smaller ways in which many places in the Bible acknowledged the yin and the yang, the divine feminine energy. And going on in Romans 5:5, it says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is considered to be the divine feminine. So I'm going to share a little bit about, because we don't oftentimes hear the feminine side of God. And especially we miss it a great deal in our Bible, perhaps if we have been brought up in a certain way. So I want to share this from, this is from Wikipedia. It's a gender of the Holy Spirit. For Semitic languages such as ancient Syriac, which was derived originally from, Syriac was spoken about 300 AD, Jesus spoke Aramaic, and for the most part, and Syriac developed from the Aramaic language. And it said, the earliest liturgical tradition and established gender usage for referring to the Holy Spirit is feminine. Some churches teach that the Holy Spirit is feminine based on the fact that both feminine nouns and verbs, as well as feminine analogies, are thought to be used by the Bible to describe the Spirit of God, which is one of the scriptures I just read. These are based on the grammatical gender of both the nouns and verbs used by the original authors for the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, as well as maternal analogies used by the prophets and by Jesus for the Holy Spirit in the original Bible languages. I want us to just breathe for a minute into allowing a balancing to continue to happen of the divine feminine alongside the divine masculine. Neither is greater or lesser, yet they each have their own individual qualities and aspects that are so important in all of our lives. And Charles Fillmore in Jesus Christ Heals says, Jesus talked a great deal about the Holy Spirit, the whole, W-H-O-L-E, Spirit. Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah taking care of the human family. Think about those references. And love is always feminine. Love is the great harmonizer and healer, and whoever calls upon God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling upon the divine love. The Holy Spirit is sympathetic, comforting, loving, forgiving, and healing. And so as we embrace, you know, today as Mother's Day, we recognize that we can expand our consciousness to include the divine feminine traits of nurturing, of intuition, of creation. It is our opportunity to embrace and be embraced. It's our opportunity to celebrate love in a way that's different than at just the human emotional level, but the love that is the authentic experience and expression of Creator God. Going on to share a little bit more from Scripture, in that the element that speaks to the feminine, which for the most part, a lot was written or not ever included, it wasn't written out, it was not included in the books of the Bible when that was created, approximately 300 AD, and the Council of Nicaea. And all of many of the disciples of Jesus, not just the 12 that we're mostly familiar with, but many of the disciples who were women. In the Greek culture, women held meetings in their homes to study, to learn, to share, and to grow. They were disciples as well as the men, and the books that mostly that were written by the women were not included. The Book of Wisdom is included in very few editions of Bibles. It is included in the New Revised Standard Version, which is now the New Revised Standard Updated Version, as you will see up there. And so from the Book of Wisdom in 7, 25, and 26, "For she is a breath of the power of God and a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. For she is a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God and an image of his goodness." And there's a whole beautiful, the Song of Solomon in the Book of Wisdom speaks of many attributes and the idea of the Holy Spirit being as a mist that surrounds us, as a presence. It goes on in Sirach, which is also only in the New Revised Standard Version. It says, "She opens her mouth, and in the presence of his host, she tells of her glory. I came forth from the mouth of the Most High and covered the earth like a mist." And other ancient authorities, it's interesting because in most Bible scripture, it goes from verse 17 to 19. Ancient authorities included verse 18, which says, "I am the mother of beautiful love, of fear," which is the translation which we know really represents the word awe. "So I am the mother of beautiful love, of awe, of knowledge, and of holy hope. I give to all my children, these things are eternal," friends. So I'm inviting us just on this Mother's Day to kind of shift our focus a little bit. To be present to and aware of not just past traditions, and many of us have had a mother in our lives, or people who are as a mother, who we dearly loved, who were present for us, who held us, who helped us walk the path, who, surprisingly enough, were not perfect, though we wanted them to be, and we blamed them for a lot of things, because that's human nature to do. And yet, this is a day to honor what that divine feminine inherent and resonant oftentimes more strongly in the female gender, but not always, those elements of loving and caring and nurturing and comforting and the intuition and the empathy. And it is a time to honor those qualities in people who we know well and in people around the world, like Mother Teresa, people who have exemplified and taught us these qualities, even when we may not have realized. So it can shift from a day, if it's not been a day for you that has been a comfortable day, perhaps because of your upbringing or a mother that did not know how best to be a mother. This is a time to be able to shift into that place of embracing divine love that is present in so many places and to honor that. Andrew Harvey and Anne Baring, they wrote a book together, The Divine Feminine, Andrew Harvey is a religious author, a scholar, and a mystic. And Anne Baring is a philosopher and an author. And they said, wherever the association is made between love and divinity, between beauty and harmony and divinity, between nourishment and divinity, or between compassion and divinity, there stands the image of the divine feminine. Andrew Harvey was, as I said, a religious scholar, and he had done so much research into discerning our Bible, our great writings, and our great teachings to begin seeing the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, and they're balancing each other and beginning to bring us into that balance to embrace. And Suzanne Kingsbury, she's a world traveler, an author, and a blogger. She says, the divine feminine is an energy that has been with us since ancient times. Consciousness is basically divided up into the masculine side and the feminine side. And we need both to achieve our highest creative potential. The divine feminine represents the connection to the part of our consciousness responsible for nurture, intuition, and empathy. So friends, if we can enjoy and embrace this day, we can love and we can celebrate those who were as a mother to us, those who were our biological mothers perhaps, those who were friends or aunts or someone else along our life path, who took the time to be with us, to exemplify and live love so that we knew what love and caring and nurturing and what the divine feminine was about. And we can celebrate this day from that place of gratitude. Expressing and sharing God's divine feminine love nurtures, comforts, embraces, and heals, friends. Expressing and sharing. So it's not ever a one-way street. It's always where we show up, where we are open and willing to receive, and then are willing to share back. And when we share that love, we do feel nurtured and comforted, embraced, and healed. And so for those of you who are here in the room and those of you at home, we did send out on our Friday e-news asking you to have a thank you card or a blank card. Those of you here in the room saw one by your chair or next to you. And I would ask that you take one of those and just sit for a moment with an open heart and a receptivity to that which is the vastness of eternal love and light, to that which is the truth of the divine feminine nature, to those who in your life exemplified that for you and showed you the way and held your hand and offered you comfort and safety. And so I'm going to, as you are ready, I'm going to ask you to write a note. Now, this note might be to yourself as a mother, recognizing all of the wonderful things that you do. It might be a note to your biological mother or to someone who is as a mother to you, a friend, an aunt. It might be to Mother God. And it might be just to yourself, whether you're a mother or not a mother, but to recognize all the many ways that you share love. And so I invite you to write this letter of gratitude, a letter of appreciation, of acknowledgement, of thank you. Recognizing, as Julie Schoen, who is an article and a writer, she says, the energy of the feminine embodies the nurturer, the healer, and the peacemaker. While the masculine energy is focused on doing, the feminine energy revels in being. And Elaine Seiler, who is an energetic and transitions coach, said, Mother Energy is universal. It is the large expression of the sacred feminine that comes from spirit. So I'll give you a couple minutes to write your letter, and then we will close. And as you take a couple minutes or another minute to finish up, just know that you may choose to mail this. You may choose to hold it close to your heart. You may choose to go home and send a text or some emojis, to send an email. And so I'd like each of us, as we kind of come to a close, to think of one special element that you learned through the divine feminine, one special quality that is very important to you. Those of you at home on via our live stream, if you would share a word or two that is important to you in regards to the divine feminine, and I'll invite those of you who are here to share a word that is vital and important to you in the element of the divine feminine. For me, one of the biggest ones is hugs. So I've got a picture of my mom right here. I'm just going to give her a great big hug. My sister watches at home from California live stream. I know she's hugging our mom too. For the rest of you, what are attributes that are special for you? Grace. Compassion. Unconditional love. Man, didn't they look past our boo-boos? Oh, goodness gracious. The patience to be able to do that. The caringness to come back, yeah. And understanding, boy, we're being kind of bratty, you know. Of course, we're never bratty at all, are we? Susan, thank you.
Your sister Vicki says sharing and understanding.
Sharing and understanding. Anybody else?
Wisdom.
You know, I'm a pretty know-it-all smarty pants. Don't laugh, Vicki. And there were times when my mom would sort of tell me, thanks, Joan, she's laughing too. Yeah, she knows us Sagittarians. So, you know, I think I knew it all and I could do it all and I'd take on all these projects and be handling it all. And my mom was right behind me, picking up the pieces and filling in the gaps of all the stuff that I forgot that had to bring a project together or whatever. Susan, some more?
So Karen Libby says, always there for you. Mm-hmm. And Cecilia says, caring, being the example of love.
Oh, and being an example of love. Caring and being an example of love. Oh, yeah, Sue Ellen.
Speaking of knowing it all, being kind of a smarty pants, it all started with my mother reading to me. I think probably when I was in the room, but certainly thereafter. So all of this know-it-allness comes a lot from her love of knowledge and expanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is amazing. The music that's played, you know, when a child is in the womb. And Colleen, I'm not sure, one of our board members, is likely at home. She's going to be a new mommy, and so she's probably at home celebrating with her family and watching, maybe via live stream or maybe later. But, just that place of appreciation of the child when they're still in the womb. Yeah, Susan.
And Karen Libby says, forgiving.
Oh, how did we forget that one? Boy. Yeah, my mom had to forgive me a lot, I will tell you. Yeah, Joan.
My mother was a rascal.
Yes.
Everybody talked about hugs and loves and kisses and forgiveness and all this. My mother didn't have those attributes so much. We have 7 kids, and I think as I'm older, I'm looking at the bigger picture now, and the love is so much higher. She always carried a rosary, always sang a rosary, and she was a free bird.
Yeah.
I had to say that because she was an extremely loving mother, but we just didn't see it in those ways.
And Joan brought out such a wonderful point, saying, you know, her mom was kind of a rascal and not always, you know, touchy-feely as we talk about it sometimes, and not always all there with the hugs and that kind of a love, but she was there with a strength and with a conviction, and she walked a path of an example that made a difference to all of her 7 children. And so it's interesting all the many different ways that love is exemplified. Yeah, Sue Emily.
My grandmother, my dad's mom, had 10 kids. And there's a story about, at one point she tied my dad to a tree in the front yard with a rope because he was trying to follow his own father to work, and it would have involved crossing Road 6. And so she was trying to, and I'm sure it was very brief. I mean, she was a wonderful person, but she tied him to a tree, and these days there'd probably be a reason to call CPS. But
that's true.
She was very loving and very close to all her kids, and she wanted him to not get run over by a car.
Yeah.
She had other kids to think about.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if those at home could hear, but Sue Ellen shared a wonderful story about her grandmother with 10 children, and And tying Sue Ellen's dad to a tree, but with love, because it's, you know, this tough love sometimes is important, and because he wanted to follow his dad to work, and he would have been getting into danger doing that. And the mom, that was what she could do when she had 10 other kids, 9 other kids to take care of. And we don't always see that. How many of us got really ticked off at our moms because they told us no, that we couldn't do something, when we thought we knew best and it would be fine? And then we got upset and didn't realize that there was a greater wisdom in that no. I received a few of those. I was a bit of a scamp. I was a bit of a free spirit. And so to begin recognizing those, you know, and like you said, Joe, not just all the hearts and the flowers and that, but all of the tough love and the genuine love and the authentic divine feminine elements and aspects. So in scripture, in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love, is joy, is peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And another reference also out of Proverbs 31:28, it says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her. So let us give thanks and appreciation and gratitude today to the divine feminine in ourselves, to the flow of divine feminine energy in our world, to those in our lives who loved us, who nurtured us, who cared for us. And in closing, I will share two quotes. One is from Hermann Hesse, novelist, German-Swiss poet. If I know what love is, it's because of you, Mom. And from, many of us know, Dr. Seuss, the children's author. And I thought this was quite poignant. He says, to the world, you may be only one person. But to one person, you may be the whole world. So friends, let us hold that in our hearts in an acknowledgement of that which is authentic love. Not just the hearts and flowers, but the true walking in strength and courage when things are difficult and tough, and being there for each other, for ourselves. And celebrate this Mother's Day in a way that embraces all, that heals and blesses and lifts our consciousness into an awareness of the rebalancing of the divine feminine.